This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche at noon, President Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll talk about a number of murder arrests and prosecutions as well. At 11:30, Dr. Cade Brumley, the Superintendent of Education for Louisiana. We'll talk about what's going on with the Federal Department of Education, what they feel may be at risk as it relates to the dismantling of same and where we find ourselves with our present education budget. Kirk Talbot joins us at 11 a.m. about sports betting. We'll talk about online gaming and what that, or mobile gaming, and what that has meant to the state of Louisiana. Last night there was a meeting held about the pedestrianization of Bourbon Street as it relates to a report that was delivered earlier this week, and we'll talk to Glade Bilby, president of the French Quarter Citizens Group, about what that actually means and how much of that report was actually revealed last evening, if anything at all. Got a lot of text yesterday about this controversy relative to the intelligence community and Signal, and a lot of folks were complaining that we didn't give them long enough of an opportunity to call in. This is your chance. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line to talk about that if you so desire. Just give us a call and we will do so. I'll give you some of my thoughts and expound on as more and more information has been revealed, some more releases by the Atlantic Reporter, and where we find ourselves at the present time. Just want to remind folks, tomorrow I am going to be at the Home and Garden Show at the Caesars Superdome. Over 200 exhibits to help renew, restore, and refresh your home. You can meet me at the booth, Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Craig is going to be there as well, and it's a great time to get one-on-one advice about buying, installing, or servicing a generator. Don't miss one of the biggest home and garden shows in years. In fact, I think this is the first year they're back in the Dome, if my memory serves me correct. So I'll be there from 10 to 1 during my regular show. Come on by, say hello. I would love to get the opportunity to meet you guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it, as well as tomorrow's a busy day, because tomorrow night I'm going to be roasted, right? Right there for the Roast of the Town to benefit Delgado students and programs out at Delgado. And the roasters will be Michael Heck, Joe Lapinto, J.P. Morrell, Diane Newman, my boss, Ronald Surpass, and Cynthia Lee Shang. Really looking forward to that tomorrow evening. Festivities start at 7, and you can go to the Delgado website if you have any interest in attending. So just kind of wanted to get that out of the way, talk about those things, and busy week. A lot to do this weekend. Remember, the Tulane Book Week is out there. NOE is out there as well. Entrepreneurs Week. Just a lot going on. A number of festivals, too. Just crazy as it relates to that. So, folks are texting in some thoughts. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Yesterday, I said that I thought that they were negligent and careless, maybe lazy in the way that they handled this information. The defense of themselves has been sloppy. The verbiage as to what's classified information, a lot of wordsmithing going on around that issue. Will we ever know how many communications utilized Signal that revealed information that otherwise would not be approved? No, not of this administration and not of the previous administration that approved Signal to be used for certain types of communications, but certainly not communications involving classified information. You also will recall that yesterday I said this type of information is a real pain in the neck when you're trying to communicate with multiple parties at one time. Time sensitive. There's a desire to get the group together so that everybody has an opportunity to weigh in. That's healthy, quite frankly. But it doesn't mean that it's an excuse to take shortcuts. And I think it's obvious to everyone shortcuts were taken. I don't know if any admission by any of these folks is going to make a difference as to whether or not this story continues and goes through multiple news cycles over the weekend, because the gotcha mentality on both sides of the aisle in D.C., that's all it's about, is to try and ding them and try and move the numbers and popularity polls a little bit one way or the other in order to be able to go out there and garner more financial resources or this, that, create some momentum. All the while, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about the country in the end. And it's a shame. And look, there's enough blame. I'm not blaming Democrats. I blame Republicans, independents. All of them are involved in this very, very crazy game that we are playing. And that's why you get a lot of responses that just don't even make sense. They seem to be run contrary to common sense and kind of scratching your head, and you're mystified by these answers. Let's go to Louis. Louis, you're up. What say you?
Yes, I think this is an example of what happens when you pick men to be in positions based on their loyalty instead of their capabilities. And that's all I've got. Thanks.
Well, Louis, I would respectfully disagree with you. I got to imagine that almost every person that gets to the cabinet expresses some sense or sort of loyalty. There are background checks done, due diligence done of the belief system of these individuals, the ideology of these individuals, and the goal. I know, because I've talked to many people that have been on that committee in many presidential administrations as they're considering folks for cabinet level positions, what they're actually looking for. And they go through a process of interviews to make sure and ensure that you are philosophically and ideologically in line with the president of the United States. So this kind of loyalty test, you know, you don't see cabinet members very often breaking ranks with the president. You just don't. And the reason is because they've flushed all of that out already. And everyone understands their role. And if you break with the president, your afterlife is not going to be very prosperous for the most part. You know, and so I don't really believe that this loyalty thing is anything else. I mean, you know, when you look at this case with Signal, the president wasn't involved. In fact, he came right out and he said, I'd rather them be in a room with lead floors, lead walls and lead ceilings. He goes, that makes more sense to me. Operationally, that would be his preference. Is that always an option? No, because you have people spread out all over the world that you would like to have or give an opportunity to participate in a conversation. Whether or not we have the means to do that in what is called a confidential setting is, you know, a discussion for another day. Let's go to Rich. Rich, you're up. What say you?
Newell, we absolutely have the means to do it properly, man. I mean, I got to tell you, man, it's tough listening to you minimize this stuff. So a little background here, 20-year
Wait a second, Rich. Stop right there. One of the participants here, which I think makes this case worse, not better, was in Russia. I'm assuming that you want to have little to no communication within the confines of the territorial boundaries of Russia about classified information back to the homeland at all until you leave Russia. So, you know, I think that was very careless and negligent on their part, just from that perspective. I know for a fact that there is not always the means to do so easily, depending on what part of the world and what country they are actually physically in. So your statement is incorrect because I've actually talked to intelligence people. I've had clearance levels where I had to go through training in order to get those clearance levels, Rich. So I know that that is not necessarily true. But having said that, Rich, that is not an excuse to go and communicate on Signal. So for you to say that I'm trying to minimize it, you know, you want to just get whatever your line is out there. That's not what I've said. So I'm not going to allow you to twist my words.
Okay. Well, let me give you a little background here, Newell. I'm a retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel. I've been on the user end of those orders as an F-18 pilot. I can assure you, and I've been on a staff, high-level staffs, I can assure you there is a means to communicate that is not on your iPhone and some goofy app. So all of those guys were doing something illegal. But here would be my point, regardless of whether you're trying to minimize it or not, because I've heard you rave and go crazy about Hillary Clinton's email server, but I don't think she put anybody's life at risk, which these guys potentially could have done. But here's the bigger point. So you put a guy who's loading the snacks on Southwest 737, you put him in the captain seat, and then you're perplexed or surprised that something went wrong? I mean, Hegseth is no more qualified to be the DOD than your janitor is to teach a physics class. So there's the beginning of it. But so this one, I would say. Yeah,
so what's interesting, about what you're saying, Rich, is that for a long time in this country, and I know that you know this, it was frowned upon to have the secretary to the Department of Defense actually be a former military person, right? Because we wanted to make sure that that position was held by a civilian.
But that doesn't mean you get.
And there were some there were some exceptions made here recently to kind of change the mindset. Not whether or not you had previous military experience. Hegseth did. There were a lot of secretaries at the Department of Defense that were not at general levels, that were not at lieutenant colonel levels, in fact, and maybe not had as much military experience as Pete Hegseth had.
But they had PhDs and credentials. This guy has none.
He has experience. I'm not saying he's the. I'm not saying he's the greatest candidate that ever walked the face of the earth. I've never said that about the individual, but the reality is, here as I go back to, I think this was put together negligently. It was put together in haste. I could tell you something else I don't think is wise. Using emojis when we're talking about killing people. Whether right, wrong, or indifferent, I think it's in bad taste that the leaders of the military apparatus and the intelligence apparatus of this country are kind of cheerleading on an official communication about a mission. You want to do that? Do that in the privacy of a conversation, not on that chat string or otherwise. I just don't think it looks appropriate. But that's just my
feeling. Well said, Newell. I agree with you 100% on that part. And here's you know, to get more to the point that I really wanted to make, this is a mistake. It's a very stupid mistake. Luckily, nobody got hurt. But, you know, all of this denial, I mean, we're in that realm. I mean, and I know you've said this. I've heard you say it on your show where the cover-up and the explanation is worse than the crime. You know, I mean, to hear Tulsi Gabbard say there was not classified. Oh, my God. It's completely 100% classified. No Republican military pilot I know could even with a straight face deny that any of this was not classified. It probably would be top secret. Like I said, I participate in about a dozen of these things.
Usually, well, I think
all of these things are put in a top secret folder.
What a lot of people are not understanding about this series sequence of events, and this is not an excuse, right? This is factual and what is reality. The first indication of attack plans were approximately articulated about 33 minutes before they were supposed to happen. Some of the other communication that was actually articulated in the aftermath of the event actually occurring. The wordsmith going on around this is whether or not that, in fact, being talked about on that chat line is still, that type of information that's prohibited after the world kind of knows what happened. And so, you know, and I would agree with you. I think we're very fortunate. I think one of the reasons that we are very fortunate that nobody got hurt or it wasn't revealed is because, to put the timing in context, that information wasn't revealed until a very short period of time before the attack plan was being executed. So there really wasn't much time for anyone to actually act on that information. I think it would be a lot more egregious had that conversation taken place the day before on Signal. And that's not to say that maybe there may have been. I don't know. Be interesting to find out. I think there are a couple of Republicans that are sitting on that committee that want to find out. I just believe that the wordsmithing that's going on here is a little disingenuous. Whether it's classified or not, to me, is of no moment. I don't think we really wanted to be talking about any of this on, this type of platform that other people could potentially hack into. Whether it's encrypted or not, you are provided an ambit of protection and cover from personal responsibility if you communicate that on the appropriate systems that you pointed out. And it would seem to me that if you're really worried about your career and worried about doing this in the appropriate fashion, whether it's inconvenient or not, you would use the appropriate types of communication provided for by the military. And whoever can't find or can't get to that, so be it. And accommodation should not outweigh the safety and security or the national security of our country on any given day. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Glade Bilby, president of the French Quarter Citizens Group. And last evening, there was a meeting that was held to talk about whether or not there will be the pedestrianization of Bourbon Street. Glade, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell.
Always good to hear from you, Glade. Glade, last evening, did anybody learn or glean anything from what was provided by the NOPD and others?
I don't think in particular. In fact, at the beginning, it was a little disappointing because we know the final plan is not necessarily in place. They had some recommendations. And I think the good thing that comes from meetings like this is the civic engagement that we get as part of the entire process, because everybody has their own particular interest. But I think Superintendent Kirkpatrick came on and said she's not presenting a plan necessarily, that we were here to hear, to get input and from people and hear people's concerns and their suggestions, whether they live here or they work here or not. So I think that part of it was a little disappointing, but I mean, it got people out to talk and see what everybody was saying. So that was good.
All right, I'm back, I think. Glade Bilby, president of French Quarter Citizens Group. Glade, I apologize. We have some kind of technical issue. But nonetheless, we were talking about what were you guys able to learn last evening or glean from the presentation?
Well, not necessarily more than we knew already. In fact, right now, the street in the French Quarter, they close from 6 o'clock to Bourbon Street, closes from 6 o'clock to 4 o'clock, 4 in the morning. So we know that. And some of the side streets are closing. But the discussion is, how much do we go forward? What is the level of protection that we will have? And how much are we willing to, I guess, endure with deliveries and traffic and other people's interest in order to be protected and be safe?
The NOAA.com is reporting that the Teneo, is the name of the organization that Chief William Bratton works for. It's a global consulting firm, had delivered the report to the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation this past Monday, as well as the council on Tuesday. Have y'all had an opportunity to speak to any council members?
Well, we did. I spoke to J.P. Morrell Tuesday morning, and he didn't have that yet. And I was actually told that the mayor hadn't really signed off on it as yet. So maybe we're waiting on everybody to get a look and have input as far as that goes. So it's not out where everyone can look at it yet. And I guess part of that is, as happens often in city issues and solutions, it's nice to be able to be part of solving it rather than have something given to you that you have to endure and live with. So from the business part, from the resident part, from the people that come to the quarter and visit, you certainly want to be part of the solution and not just dictated to. So, you know, we're hoping to be a little more engaged in the final product.
Were there any assurances given or anything during the course of that meeting?
No, not necessarily. I mean, as you can imagine, we have a unique culture in the French Quarter, so everybody has their mindset as to what they want to get out of it, whether it's a resident who lived here for a long time or the businesses who are here for a long time or musicians or entertainers or people with a side hustle, whatever you would call it. Everybody has their own particular interests. So, I don't think anything unusual came out of this. I will tell you that at the Security Enforcement Committee meeting of the French Quarter Management District, which, as you know, has a lot to do with the quarter for the quarter supplemental police patrol, we had a healthy discussion about that on Monday, and our recommendation was, in fact, to close Bourbon Street as they have been saying, at Canal Street rather than at Iberville, which is actually the beginning of the French Quarter, and to possibly go down to either St. Anne or Domaine. Now, that said, Newell, anything that you do to close off traffic, you're going to need to have, as was discussed last night by various people, a traffic plan, because when you close it off somewhere, it's going to impact traffic somewhere else. So you have to really think this through. And I don't know that it entails a study, but it entails what practically we have now and how the traffic flows now. People can change, but there's only so many streets in the French Quarter where you can get in and out and from the front to the back, left to right, east to west. So you have to take that in consideration.
Glade, have y'all provided like a neighbor count of how many folks or residents actually reside in the 100 block of Bourbon, the 200, 300, 400? And, you know, they talk about residential impact.
Not too many live in that front of Bourbon Street. I mean, as we all know, the esteemed Lindy Boggs lived in the 600 block of Bourbon, was right in the middle of all of this stuff. But I don't think we have very many residents there. But the concern is still access for businesses. No, you have to take into consideration we have so many tourists here, and the status quo is they need food, lodging every day. You need to keep the place clean. So there is a lot of traffic that has to feed the infrastructure, if you will, daily, 24/7. So that's not going to go away. That's not going to change. Oh, I would think so, because we're going to have to implement it in some way. You're going to need to do something because of the concerns. Now, what people have expressed too, something had happened on Domaine Street, it affects the French Quarter. Something had happened on Decatur, it affects the French Quarter. Bourbon is the one that everyone knows, but it could happen in a lot of places in the French Quarter. Something can happen. But again, take, for instance, coming up French Quarter Fest. We have 900,000 people come to French Quarter Fest, so we have to pay attention to the safety. We have to pay attention to the traffic and the logistics of it. So it's not something that's going to go away, certainly when we have a tourist-based economy. So we have to deal with it. Maybe it's a weekly project and then a special events project that changes tune and times. That would be applicable, but anything that makes the visitor experience better is certainly going to be good for the residents and businesses as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll check back with you. I was kind of hoping there would have been more discussed last night. I know it was talked about by a number of folks, and I guess folks are still trying to consume that report. I'm not sure how long right. It is, but we'll check back with you to get your appreciation of what's provided in the near future, hopefully.
No, we're hoping for something that's very workable for everybody, that makes it better for our visitors. No, we have a tourist-based economy. We have to make the experience better and safer. And I think, as I mentioned before, French Quarter Management District has done a lot for making the lighting repaired. We're almost finished with the lighting repairs, and when we pay attention to the safety through French Quarter Task Force. And certainly the cleanliness is helping, as we've talked about before, bring up people's appreciation and be more compliant.
Absolutely. Glade, as always, thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your day. Glade Bilby, president of the French Quarter Citizens Group. We will check back with you soon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. So I got a lot of more texts about this signal debacle. I did want to say one other observation that was left out. During the course of the communication amongst the parties, there was reference to, if you want additional information, you can go to the high side, which is what the previous caller, Rich, was talking about, was those communication systems that are protected. The fact that somebody in the course of that conversation actually said that obviously felt some comfort level that what was being provided or what was being talked about at that point in time, because this was a communication that was going on, had not been anything of a confidential or classified nature, I should say, and they were okay. That doesn't mean that the whole conversation falls within that purview, but at that point in time. So there were people participating in the string that obviously knew or felt that what had been discussed up to that point was fair game to be on that mode of communication as opposed to others, because they mentioned the other if you wanted further information. But I agree when you're talking about the types of missiles, you know, obviously there was some information given that it was coming from the sea. That kind of gives up a little bit of a location, right? It diminishes the number of possibilities. I don't think anybody can argue that or otherwise. And this isn't the first time it's happened. I mean, we've had other instances. I was just reading an article earlier this morning by Jim Garrity over at the Andrew McCarthy over at National Review. Andrew's a former U.S. prosecutor. I kind of follow him in what he writes. I think he's pretty fair and balanced across the board. And he makes the point that make your admission, move on. He also makes the point that, Barr made a decision relative to Comey when Comey released some classified information. Comey says he didn't believe it was classified information at the time that he revealed it. Barr came to the conclusion that he did not intentionally release classified information. It was unintentional. It was careless. The information was reviewed after the fact, and it was determined to be classified. So a lot of this comes down to the appreciation in the heat of the moment of things that are being said. It's not an excuse, folks, but these are the realities of what's happening in practice. Why we would open ourselves up to signal as to a point-to-point encryptive delivery system, fully encrypted from point-to-point, in a commercial application, I don't know, it's beyond me. It would seem to me that we could develop our own if that's what we wanted, and have more controls and a higher level of confidence as to our communications being protected. It's just a thought. I mean, part of the problem is government moves very slow. I wanted to talk about something else with relative to what Rich said. I don't believe for a moment that these communication systems are all over the world. And the reason I don't believe it is I have personal experience to show otherwise. I'll never forget during the course of the response in Katrina that we had reservists and we had full-time military. One of my deputy chiefs and myself, my deputy chief had split up the East Bank into four sections because we were running across one another and we could not communicate with one another. And what we learned is that the reservists were not on the same communication system with full-time military, and that there was no way for us really to get them to be able to communicate. And it's just a classic example of what our belief system is about the level of core competencies in communication, which actually are not there. I can tell you everyone in my organization was completely and totally surprised. We were shocked, quite frankly, that communication could not be worked out. And the only way it could be worked out was in a very archaic way that made no sense to the real-time operational application that was going on the streets as we were trying to make sure that people weren't breaking into folks' homes. There were no lights. It was pitch black and alike. And that's why we ended up having to divide up the parish in East Bank into four sections, because it was all about who could communicate with who. And there was no way to patch at all. I know that there's this belief out there that they have the greatest communication systems in the world. Not necessarily true. Yeah, there was satellite back then. Yes, they had satellite communications. Was it more obsolete than what is available today? There's no doubt. More archaic? Absolutely. But the fact of the matter is they couldn't communicate. So I'm not one that jumps right away to assume that they're able to pull it off. Typically, they can pull it off with a lot of foreplanning that goes on, maybe. But I will tell you, in this case, not at all. And it was a problem. It was a huge problem. And we were very lucky, just like we talked about this incident, that nobody got shot and killed. Very lucky. And in fact, it was such a big concern for us, we mustered up every morning at either 0500, 0600 to talk about what happened the night before and how many conflicts we had with one another. Not with the bad guys, with one another. Because we could not communicate out there. And even along those border lines of the four sections, it became a problem. Counted our blessings every morning. Worked really hard to try and overcome that. So it's not as readily available and readily apparent. I just tell that anecdotal story as kind of emblematic of what we, our expectations are of what we're able to do. And you find out in the heat of the moment, not so easy. We'll be right back. Folks, when we return, we'll visit with State Senator Kirk Talbot, part of the Jefferson Parish Legislative Delegation, and we'll be talking about sports betting during March Madness and what it means to the state.